Taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and we should be reading from verse 14. Hear the word of God. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it has work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the inspired word of God. Amen.
That Alan read to us, and this morning we're going to conclude chapter 3 of Ephesians. So we're making progress. Quick progress. And this morning we now are in verse 14 through to the end of chapter 3. So will you pray with me, friends, as we always ask for God's help. Thank you, our gracious and our loving Father, for giving to us your word. We thank you that your word is inspired by the Spirit, that it is infallible, but we thank you that it is also adequate, it is also sufficient, it is also final for us. And it's for us a great joy, Lord, and a privilege to Sunday by Sunday work our way through your word. We pray now that as we draw Ephesians 3 to a close and listen again to the Apostle Paul praying, that it would be a huge challenge to us and a time of great blessing. We cannot do this in our own strength, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, you've been very patient, and I hope it's been of some help to you, but Sunday by Sunday, since this year began, we've been working our way verse by verse through Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the queen of the epistles. And we are going to come and see a very important principle this morning, and that is this, that whenever you and I spend time in the Bible, we listen to the very voice of God. And when God speaks to us, and when God teaches us, and when God reveals his word to us, how do we respond? Not only by saying, well, that was terrific, I now understand that passage. Not necessarily. The way we respond is to get on our knees in prayer. And that's what we are going to do this morning. From verse 14 through to the end of the chapter, we again listen to the Apostle Paul as he prays to God. Someone has once said to us that one of the best ways to discover a person's greatest anxieties and ambitions is to listen to their prayer life. That's quite interesting, isn't it? I wanted to hear, what is really on your heart? What is the greatest desires that you have? Then I would ask you to let me listen to your prayers. Because the content of your prayers And the intensity with which you pray is always going to be an indication to us of what's really in the heart. So let's come this morning then and listen to Paul as he prays for the Ephesians. One last thing by way of introduction is this. What do you and I pray for each other? What are those deep longings that we want to see in one another's life here at Christchurch Pinetown? Well, if you're not sure, then I hope this morning it will become clear to you. I believe, friends, that there are four things that you and I need to pray for. If ever you pray for me, please pray for these four things. When I'm praying for you, when we're praying for one another, these are the main things that we should be remembering. Alright? So look at verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father. See, I've just mentioned that for you, haven't I? What he has told us in the previous two chapters and half of chapter 3 is now bringing the Apostle Paul onto his knees. In other words, the indispensable prelude to all petition is the revelation of God's will. We have no authority to pray for anything which God has not revealed to be his will. And brothers and sisters, that is why our Bible reading and our prayer always go together. I don't know if you ever felt like that. Maybe it was just me. But I used to read the biographies of Whitfield and Wesley and David Livingstone and Simeon and Brainard and all of these incredible Christians. And they would say to me they would spend 2 or 3 hours every day in prayer. And I used to hit depression because I couldn't pray that long. And then I learned why they did it. Because how they used to do it was they would read the word and then pray. They'd read the word and then pray. So God was speaking to them through the Bible reading and they would respond in their prayers. And that became much easier. And that's why I would encourage you every morning before you get into the workplace, before you get into the chores at home, get down before your gracious God, spend time in His Word, and as you read through the Word, you respond by praying. So Paul says, I kneel before the Father. He's kneeling to show the tremendous earnestness with which he is about to come in prayer. And he says, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. All you need to remember there with that phrase is that the words in heaven and on earth will indicate that the church here on earth and the church in heaven, though separated by death, are nevertheless two parts of a great family. So our family is here on earth, but our family is also in heaven. So with that by way of a background, Paul now comes and says, I'm going to pray for you. Let's listen to what he asked for. Four great requests. Look at verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So there's the first request, brothers and sisters, on the screen, or it's in the notes that were given to you. When we are praying for one another, we pray that we may be strengthened. Strengthened with might. Now, isn't that a terrific thought that in verse 16 he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches. Our God is a glorious God, isn't he, friends? Of course he is. And out of all his riches, Paul says, I pray that our glorious God may strengthen you with power. The word strengthen there in the original means to become mighty through. The word power, as you've all heard many times, comes from dunamis, dynamite, with power. So what is Paul saying? Dear God, I pray for these Christians in Ephesus, that by your grace, out of your riches, you will strengthen them, that they may be strong, that they may be braced, that they may be fortified, that they may be able to take whatever trials, difficulties, and opportunities come their way. Lord, he says, strengthen them. But how? How does God do that? Well, look what he says. Through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The strength that we need to live the Christian life comes through the Holy Spirit, or the Lord Jesus Christ indwelling. It's both referring to the same experience. There's no other way. But when Jesus is ruling in our lives by his Spirit, he makes us strong. So there you are, my dear friends, is Paul's first request. He prays to the Father that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, may be allowed to rule in the hearts and lives of the Christians at Ephesus, and that from that position, he will strengthen them. Now, you know, friends, some of you may have come into our church today, and the pressures are big, and you may be going through some tough times. Isn't this a lovely prayer to pray? Oh God, I'm feeling weak, and I'm fragile. I'm inadequate. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to make me strong, so that whatever comes my way, I'll come through it by your Spirit. So what is Paul praying? He prays that they may be strengthened. Is that all right? Is that a great prayer? We need that, don't we? I would think so. So let's move on to number two. What's the second request? Look at verse 17. And, here's number two, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. So the second request now, friends, is that you and I would be rooted and established in love. That's number two. The little word root there, as you pick up there, means to have deep roots. The word grounded is to have strong foundations. So Paul likens these Christians to a well-rooted tree, and then to a very well-built house. Now, what's going to help us to be like that? In both of those cases, the reason why they are so strong is because the stability comes from the way that they love. The way that they love. Jesus said, you remember those words, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have knowledge. No, doesn't say that, eh? If you have doctrine. No, If you have lots of activity running from one meeting to the other, no. If you're involved in evangelism, no. Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love. One or another. And that's what Paul prays. He says, you've all come to experience salvation. You've all seen this great family that God is making. But I'm praying for you. I pray that you'll be strong, but I pray that you will demonstrate love to one another. Dear brothers and sisters, that's the challenge. That's the great challenge. When we speak, it's only words of grace that build up each other. When we deal with one another, we always put the other person first. We go last. We come to one another as servants. We are wanting to demonstrate love. That is no definition of love in the Bible. It's described to us as being patient and kind, never envious, never rude, never insisting on its own way, never ever recounting wrongs. Love bears all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. That's what Paul is praying here. You know, sometimes, even in the church, one doesn't always see that self-sacrificing love for one another. What does Paul pray for? I pray that you'll be strengthened. And I pray that your whole life will be rooted and grounded in love. You'll be a loving Christian. Number three.
It's just four this morning. Number three. Verse 18 and verse 19.
So that you and I may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And here's the third request. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. John Stott is a wonderful writer. And in his commentary he says this. This is the love which stretches the intellect. He who is not filled with love is necessarily small, withered, and shriveled in his outlook on life. Conversely, the one who is filled with love is large, copious in all his apprehensions. Only he is able to understand how long and wide and all the rest is the amazing love of Jesus. I don't want to see too much into that. We've got to be careful, perhaps, to try and grasp the love of Jesus. Why is it broad? I would simply say it's broad enough to incorporate all people. It's long enough to last for eternity. It's deep enough to reach into the most degraded sinner, and it's high enough to exalt us into heaven. That's what we long to know, friends. So request number three is, I pray that you will know this love deep down in your heart. Notice an interesting little point there. Did you pick that up? You can only understand and know the love of Jesus together with all the saints. You cannot do it on your own. We need each other. It's together with one another. That's why it's so wonderful to be in our care groups. in our cell groups, in our Bible studies, and we're talking and praying and wrestling through the Scriptures, because we help one another to grow in our knowledge of Christ. Lord, I pray that You'll strengthen them, that You'll help them to love, that they will know, and lastly, number four, for the fullness, that You will be filled. Hey friends, isn't that an amazing verse? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. Isn't that an amazing verse? Isn't that an amazing verse? Listen. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What that is saying is that we are to be filled not with certain things as much as according or unto the fullness of God. God's fullness or perfection now becomes the standard or the level up to which we pray to be filled. Well, let me summarize. We, in a sense, are in holy ground this morning. Paul has explained to us these magnificent doctrines. Once you understand the grace and mercy of God in saving our lives and establishing His church, it brings us onto our knees in prayer. And what does he pray for? Paul prays that his readers may be given the strength by the Spirit, that their lives will be rooted in love, that they will grow in their knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ in all of its dimensions, and that they will grow into the fullness of God Himself. Now those are bold petitions. Climbers on this staircase become short of breath, even a little giddy. You know, a strange thing happened once. Mary and I took our boys to the Berg, and Mary wanted to have a rest just one day, so I said to her, well, I'll take the boys and we'll go up to the amphitheater. You know the amphitheater? Magnificent, eh? So we went to Vitsie's Hook, and we climbed and climbed and climbed. We went up the chain ladders, and there I took, when our boys were much smaller, and we took them right up to the top of the amphitheater. And there we were right at the top. And as some of you may know, you go along there and then you come to God's window and you see this majestic view. And as we were looking at this view, our youngest son became ill. Suddenly like it. And he became giddy. And a couple of people who were with us said, you better get down as soon as you can. He's getting altitude sickness. Oh, I didn't even know there was such a thing. So I had to go back down the chain ladder with this little guy, and we got down all right. But you see, he got high up, and he got giddy. You know, my friends, when you listen to a prayer like this, that's how we respond. When you go home now, you are a weak person, and so am I. We live in a society, in a culture where there's huge pressure on us. Our prayer should continually be, Lord, please strengthen me to make a stand for Jesus. Strengthen me to cope with whatever comes my way. Help me never to be critical in what I say, to be loving in how I act. Everything I do, everything I say, everything I think, to be rooted in love. Help me to understand Your love more and more each day, its vastness. And oh God, help me never to be happy with where I am, but to be growing into the fullness of God. My friends, that's Paul's prayer for you and me today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to listen to Paul praying. I know in my own life, one's prayers at times are so feeble compared to this. Sometimes the content of our prayers are so very self-centered and over such small matters. Today, Lord, we've listened to the great apostle praying. And we confess this morning how we need these four areas in our own lives. As we leave here, Lord, we long to be strong, to be more loving and caring, to understand something more of your grace, and to continually be growing into the fullness of God. Forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we fall far short. And we ask now, Lord, that as we come to the table of the Lord, that you will bless our time together. For Jesus' sake. Amen.